The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 9th, 2026. It is overcast. It's gloomy. And I'm out of breath.
I was about to say, I'll take over from here. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well.
I did not run into the studio at 2 o'clock. I did not do that.
I almost didn't turn his mic on. And, I mean, definition of free-for-all Friday, just slacking, coming in, unprepared. I mean, my goodness, what
unprepared?
Are we doing?
Unprepared? Whoa. Who filled out the rundown today? I did.
I don't know. What are we talking about here to start the show today?
We are starting with the college football playoff semifinal game one last night.
That was too easy.
What do you mean? I built the rundown. You do it. I would say you do it at least 3 days a week, if not four. And then I kind of add in and prepare and whatever.
Jacob did put a bullet point on every single 15-minute mark.
Which
today.
Is
actually on the first hour.
That's filling it. Well, you already had some of the second hour, and then I filled in the rest. I'm a team player, all right? I'm a team player. It's been a hectic
Just
Friday.
A 3-and-D type of guy, right?
Always have been, always will be, man. I'm never going to be the star player.
But you know what you're going
to
get.
But you got to have me. You know when I'm not there. That's the best way to describe me. You don't know what you have until it's gone. That's me.
And then offensively, whatever you get is just a bonus.
It's either 2 or 15. There's really no in between, yeah. Yeah. I've had zero.
And we got 15 on the – we got about 9 on the rundown for you today.
In 2 hours to get a couple of more buckets. So happy Friday, everybody. Free-for-all Friday at its finest. We appreciate you being with us. It is going to be a free-for-all Friday because we have, what, 7 or 8 different topics that we're going to try and hit on today. It won't happen. Just go ahead and accept that. If you know this show, if you listen to this show, our time management is pretty poor. And if you didn't pick up on that in the first couple of minutes as I was having to run into the studio, then buckle up. It's gonna be a bumpy ride. But we have a ton to get to today. We are talking the college football playoff as Miami takes down Ole Miss last night in the semifinal out in Arizona. We've got another game coming up tonight between Indiana and Oregon. That one taking place in the Peach Bowl at Mercedes-Benz in downtown Atlanta. Very excited to talk about last night's result and preview tonight's game and make a pick there as well. Plus, we have more transfer portal news for Auburn as a big receiver has joined the team. One that Byron Brown's pretty close with, pretty tight. So excited to talk about that. Couple of offensive linemen starting to trickle in as well for the Auburn Tigers. News out of Seattle, which is just what a dumb situation that was. And then hour number two, we get into, I don't even know what to call that segment other than NIL is broken, which isn't a groundbreaking statement, but you start looking into some of these numbers that Christian pulled and yeah, if you don't hate the NIL era now, give us until about 3:20, and you'll be ready to punt on the whole idea.
Yeah, 3:20 on individual NIL. Give us 3:30 to talk about money making you angry. And thankfully, money's never a sensitive subject.
No,
and so we'll never have any issues on that side of things. But no, it is going to be really, really fun. And how cute is it that we get to watch a game tonight for the winner to go play in Miami's own stadium?
I mean, just so dumb. I understand it's just a rotation, and I get the rotation or highest bidder or whatever the case may be. I get it. But the idea, how funny is this? That there's a chance that in college and the NFL,
yeah,
a participant in the championship game could play in their home stadium. Miami, the University of Miami, down in Miami Gardens, down at Hard Rock. And then the San Francisco 49ers could play out in San Fran for the Super Bowl, which is where it is this year. Like, I don't know if that's bad scheduling. I don't know if that's just luck. I think it's just dumb luck.
It is.
Because you can't guarantee who's going to make the Super Bowl and make the national championship game.
No, conversation for another day.
It is funny to see how that could happen. So, and then later on in the show, we are going to talk Auburn basketball, SEC basketball, and more, because tomorrow is just jam-packed with college basketball as Arkansas comes to town. And so it is Free for All Friday, which means you can be a part of the show. We want to hear from you. The phone lines are open all show long. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about on this Friday afternoon? College football playoff, Auburn transfer portal, NIL, college basketball, you name it. We got an NFL playoffs if you want to talk about that. We've got 6 games over the next 3 days for that. So we can talk about anything that's on your mind by giving us a call or shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And Miami is moving on to the national championship game. They eliminate the SEC and Ole Miss with Pete Golding. And for the 3rd year in a row, not only will the SEC not win a national championship, Christian, they won't play for a national championship. And the rest of college football is letting us know about it.
Yeah, especially the ACC, who we've called the
trash,
the poor conference, right? I mean, the fact that Miami, and deservingly so, I mean, what you've seen with them over the past couple of weeks, I mean, look at the run that they've made. They've beaten 2 SEC teams now, one of them on the road in Aggieland. You then go and defeat the by far favorite to win the national championship, and then you win a little bit of a slugfest in the second quarter and in the fourth quarter against a high-powered Ole Miss team, who we will get to some news about that team individually here in just a little bit. But we talked about it yesterday, Jacob, about Oregon and Indiana is going to be the game of execution, the battle of execution. You know what you're going to get for both teams. It's simply going to come down to, can one team get off the field on 3rd and 4?
Yeah.
How many times do you see with really good teams that that's going to be the case? Or one costly interception that gives the team a short field and they respond and double their lead or bring it from 3-0 to 10-0, and then you feel like the other team has to work out of a hole. With this game, you didn't know what you were going to get. You had a feeling based off of Ole Miss's high-powered offense that they could have success, but going up against Miami's front four, what is that going to look like? What are you going to get from Carson Beck? You thought that Mark Fletcher was going to have a solid game. I don't think many people predicted it to be that good.
No.
But Carson Beck looks really good, as did Trinidad Chambliss, and you just had a game that if you're watching without any sort of connection, just watching a college football playoff game, wanting a really good college football game, what more could you have asked for?
Yeah, I mean, you got it. You got everything you wanted. You got a slow defensive first quarter, teams feeling each other out. You had a second quarter that had, 27 points scored before the half, and then a third quarter that was very similar to the first quarter, and then a fourth quarter with all the dramatics in the world. And you got all the entertainment value out of the college football playoff semifinal. And I appreciated the fact that it was a close game, that it was right there on the spread. Crazy how that works out. And these two teams last night showed they belonged in that game. That's what I liked. That's what I appreciated for the game that felt overshadowed by the one coming up this evening. Right? I understand that ESPN put pretty much everybody they could of their A team on that game last night. I don't know why or what the reasoning was. I don't say that in a demoralizing way. It kind of came off that way. But this is not the game that everybody's been waiting for. Everybody's waiting for the game tonight. And maybe it was because that was ACC versus SEC and whatever the case might be, but you had the A broadcast team, you had Pat McAfee there, you had College Game Day there. You had everything that they could do to hype that thing up. I think being on a Thursday night was part of that reason too, trying to help themselves get as much viewership and listenership as possible. But the game delivered, and I picked Miami to win. I didn't expect it to be a 31-27 game. You had Ole Miss, who almost had it, right? Led a drive to take the lead, and then they let Miami do the same. And then Ole Miss made it interesting right there at the end as well. So that fourth quarter was one of the best fourth quarters we've seen in quite some time in college football. I think the sport needed it right now. And yeah, Miami moving on to the national championship game. I'll say this, though. This was my take going into the Final Four. And given how the two teams played last night, I will double down on this. The winner tonight between Indiana and Oregon will win the national championship.
And how weird is it to say that I would honestly have more confidence in Ole Miss to win it rather than Miami? And that sounds really weird to say. Just because you feel like Ole Miss at least has the, and Miami did show it, but the offensive firepower to go out and win a slugfest rather than it being a team that struggles. Or this might just be the perception of, I don't want a Miami team in there that's going to try and dominate the run game and dominate the clock, as would probably both teams tonight and in the national championship. I guess just from a pure excitement standpoint, maybe not better for college football, but
I think the Ole Miss story is awesome. And if Indiana wasn't a thing, Ole Miss would be the lead story in the college football playoffs. It's pretty close, but Indiana is just an undeniable force that people can't stop talking about. I think that Miami, if they were to play Oregon in the national championship game, I think they give them everything they want. I think that could be a rock fight. I would still take Oregon, but I think Miami could play them close. I think if Indiana wins tonight, I think they roll over Miami. If that Hurricanes team plays like they did last night, and this is going to be in their home stadium with more Miami fans that have ever attended a football game ever in the history of their program, right? This is the most relevant they have been in over 20 years. That stadium isn't going to know what to do. It's massive, don't get me wrong, but it never sells out. It doesn't sell out when Miami plays there. It doesn't sell out when NFL teams play there. It doesn't sell out when concerts go there. But it will for the national championship game if you can afford to get in. Ticket prices are outrageous right now. But it'll be a major celeb fest. All the old school Miami folks are going to hang out, and they should. They should absolutely enjoy this moment. But I think if they have to play the Hoosiers in the national championship game, Christian, I don't see how Miami keeps up with the Indiana Hoosiers if they beat the Oregon Ducks tonight. We'll talk about that game coming up in just a little bit. But
Miami did answer the questions, though, of playing from behind if they needed to, or getting the stops when they needed to.
Totally
and
agree.
So,
totally agree.
Again, it'll be a really good game. Again, this right here showed that four teams deserve to play for the college football national championship. You now have, I did a lot of stats before Christmas break. We are now at 15 of the 51 games, and I'm going to keep this number as long as I can. 15 of the 51 games that have been played in the college football playoff era have been one-score games.
Last night was
only the 15th game that was a one-score game, and Ole Miss Georgia was the 14th.
Hmm.
So, again, for the anti-expansionist in me, the fact that it's not 35 of the 51, right? It's not a couple of the first-round games, but imagine how awesome it would be if this was the four-team playoff. I understand that that's not how this worked, but imagine if that was semifinal number one, and then you have semifinal number two, and then you have the national championship, and that's it.
But weirdly enough, in that scenario, given that the big brands of college football wouldn't have been a part of it, right, would the four-team playoff of Oregon, Indiana, Ole Miss, and Miami, would that have drawn the amount of attention as this playoff did without Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Texas Tech, would it have drawn the same amount of attention? You get what I'm saying here? Like, without those brands,
sure,
when they were on the outside looking in, I'm not saying they're everything, but they do carry a lot of weight. There's a reason they have the biggest TV deals in the country. I don't know. It's an impossible question to answer.
Yeah, and again, that's why the ratings for this game were so awesome. That's why everybody enjoyed it so much, was because you had the two underdogs that probably shouldn't have been in those spots if you look at the national media, considering it being Oregon or Ohio State and Georgia were the easy favorites to go play in the Fiesta Bowl.
The 6th seed and the 10th seed, according to the playoff committee.
Yeah.
And now the 10th seed
you
is playing
a,
for the national championship
game. You could
have a
10 seed and a 5 seed playing for the national championship. How
and
weird is that?
What's
to think
so crazy,
about?
Too, is in my opinion, that I sit here and think about it, I haven't had this thought process before, but think about the NCAA basketball tournament. They seed it, right? 1 through 16 in 4 different quadrants. They seed it in a way that they want upsets. They want those lower seeds to make a run and get to the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 and the Final Four, right? They love the years that the 8 seed or the 10 seeded UConn or whatever. They love when those teams make it to the Final Four. The committee wasn't planning on Miami making it to the Final Four. And I'm not saying I know whether they wanted them to or not, but that was not the plan for there to possibly be, like you said, the 5 seed and the 10 seed. That's not their goal at all.
The committee could not be happier, though, that Miami is playing for the national championship.
Why?
Because nobody wanted Miami in. And the committee said, let's put them in. And everybody said, what are you – why? Why would you put a Miami team that didn't even play for the ACC championship? This is supposed to be the 12 best teams, regardless of any sort of conversation, any sort of argument. Their one pushback is, okay, cool. Look who's still playing football.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. So, great game last night. Everything we wanted it to be. I thought Trinidad Chambliss looked good, but news on Trinidad Chambliss. This is heartbreaking. You hate to see this. Obviously, it's the way that it's going right now, but saw before we went on the air, as I was sprinting down the hall, Trinidad Chambliss denied his extra year of eligibility. So you hated for him because he had really started to play his best football, and if he were to come back to Ole Miss next year, watch out, but he's not. And so now...
Well, as of now, before he subs.
True. Yeah.
Because he's already agreed to his new deal, which is...
But that's not the court's problem.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's a,
oh, you're right.
A
you're
wild conversation
right.
of basically a company saying, if our headquarters decides to bring you back, here is your major raise, but they're not. But then they said no. And so now you're at a weird spot if you're Chambliss.
I don't know. That's so weird. So what does Ole Miss do, right? Somebody texted, I think it was Eric in Auburn, texted our text box 334-784-1067 and says, so what, Deuce Knight to Ole Miss now?
Deuce Knight is crystal ball to Ole Miss.
Oh, man. That'd be the most Auburn thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
Which brings up a whole other conversation that we don't have time for today, but the fact that Auburn – paid Deuce Knight X amount of dollars more than everybody else for him to go stand on the sidelines for a year and then go play for the next team that year. So the return on investment, if again, this is all speculation, but if Deuce Knight goes to Ole Miss or goes to Notre Dame or whatever the case may be, your return on investment of the $2.5 million is absolutely zero.
Mm. Good news is Auburn doesn't play Ole Miss next year, right? They don't have to load up and fly to Oxford on October 31st on Halloween night, right?
Hmm.
No way that would happen. No way that would line up. No way the stars would align in that constellation for the Auburn Tigers in the year 2026. Auburn and Ole Miss, Oxford, Saturday, October 31st. It'll be a night game.
Oh, for sure.
But I grew up loving that game on Halloween night. That used to always be a Halloween night.
Yeah.
Auburn and Ole Miss. There's some weird stuff that's happened on that game.
It's always been either the night game or the 11 o'clock games.
Yeah.
Back when Ole Miss wasn't great. But now it's usually always the guaranteed night game.
Yeah, crazy stuff. So, okay, we need to take our first break here in hour number one. We'll come back. We'll talk about the game coming up tonight between the Ducks and the Hoosiers in the college football playoff. We will get to Auburn football transfer portal news coming up at about 2:30 because some weird stuff going on there. Of course, the Deuce Knight situation. Eric Singleton has some drama and some news going on as well, plus some big names that Auburn has picked up in the portal. All that coming up here on the Free for All Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Appreciate you being here. And we are being told in our text box to chant ACC, ACC, where it just means more. And, yeah, nobody's more upset than us about the ACC having a representative in the national championship game. That hurts the soul, man. It really does. But don't worry. All of our hopes rely on the Big Ten. So they
don't have anything to hold above the SEC.
No, not at all. I mean, man, they are loving letting the SEC know that it's not dominant anymore. And it's not. The SEC is nowhere near what it used to be. And there are several reasons why. We don't have time today, but the elephant in the room is paying players is legal now. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that, but
how many things did I say?
I don't know. Oh, well.
Forgot to turn my mic on.
Yep. Professional.
Halfway.
But that's what it is. The SEC was paying players. And for years, we convinced ourselves, oh, the SEC, man, it's just better. They can't compete. SEC's just got better stuff, better programs, better schools, better campuses, right? Better restaurants. SEC, it's just better. Nobody wants to go to Columbus, Ohio. Nobody wants to go to East Lansing. Nobody wants to go to Lubbock, Texas. Nobody wants to go to Tallahassee, right? We just convinced ourselves that the SEC was just that much better than everybody else for no particular reason.
It was, .. because
they were paying players. But we knew that.
But no, Coach O was just making, he was telling jokes.
Yeah, right. The SEC was paying players, and we knew it and just accepted it and kind of laughed it off. And then it became legal, and it became encouraged. And then all the other teams started doing it.
And mandatory.
But yeah, literally. Then all the other teams started doing it, and it's, oh, the sport's kind of balanced out a little bit. We've got Ole Miss playing in the college football playoff semifinal, something they've never even thought about playing in the history of its program. You've got Indiana playing tonight as the number one team in the country, undefeated, and a chance to win it all. The team who has more losses than anybody in college football when Kurt Cignetti took over. That's the difference, folks. And we'll dive into that a little bit more when there's more time. But a couple of minutes here, Christian, Indiana and Oregon, second college football playoff semifinal game tonight. You can catch the radio broadcast right here on ESPN 106.7, so be sure you tune in for that after the drive goes off the air. Quick thoughts on the Ducks and the Hoosiers. Rematch.
Yeah, it is. A rematch from the 30-20 Indiana win in Eugene, which was one of the most impressive wins of the season. That was when we thought Indiana was good, but we didn't think that they were legit. I think 95% of the entire country picked Oregon to win this game, and 3% of the 5% of the people picked Indiana as a joke. But then you realize that this Hoosier team and Kirk Cignetti was absolutely legit. You saw Heise Mendoza play really good in that contest tonight. Again, it's going to be the battle of execution. Can Dante Moore sit in the pocket? Can he deliver the football on time? He had two interceptions in the first game. Both of those, I believe, were late in the fourth quarter when they were trying to mount the comeback. But Oregon only had three legitimate drives in that contest, going back and looking at some stats. And three of them, or all three of the drives, led to field goals. Two of them were made field goals. One of them was a missed field goal. The only touchdown came on a deep ball. Came on a three-play drive that took 57 seconds.
I believe Oregon did not run an offensive play in the red zone in that game.
That's...
which is wild in a P4 game of that caliber. I believe that's the stat, that the Oregon offense did not run an offensive play in the red zone against the Hoosiers.
And for those that are saying, well, Christian, that's only 13 points. That's because Oregon's defense had seven of them.
Yep.
On a pick six from Fernando Mendoza. So when you look at a 10-point game, that's the definition of a box score game right there. Okay, Oregon only lost by 10. No, this game was dominated by the Indiana Hoosiers. Oregon's got to figure out how to run the football now without their number two, their leading rushing touchdown type of guy. And can Oregon cover Elijah Surratt and Omar Cooper? 15 grabs, 179 yards, and a touchdown in that rematch, or in the first game. You now have the rematch. You got to find an answer defensively.
I think they can cover one. I don't think they can cover both. In Indiana, especially with the Oregon injury problems at running back, I think the Hoosiers can run the football better. I think they can pass the football better. I think they can protect Fernando Mendoza better than what Oregon can. And that Indiana defense is the best in the nation. I like the Hoosiers. I think it's a defensive slugfest tonight. Maybe I'll give a score prediction later on in the program. But we take a break and we come back and talk Auburn football transfer portal news, good and bad.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Busy Friday and a busy weekend, man. This is one of the most loaded sports weekends I can remember in quite some time. I mean, this feels like one of those October weekends where there's tons of college football, tons of NFL football. You've got baseball going on like late September, early October. I mean, with last night, right, you had the college football playoff last night, the other college football playoff game tonight. You've got two NFL playoff games tomorrow, three NFL playoff games on Sunday, the last one being on Monday, and then a loaded slate of college basketball that started last night and rolls all the way through the weekend. I mean, this is incredible, man. This is one of the better weekends probably of the year. I know we're only a week and a half in, but I'm saying it advanced like throughout the 2026 year. This is loaded, and there's a lot going on top of that, in case that's not already an overload. The transfer portal is still open.
As is Lee Scott and Auburn High basketball.
Yes. Yes, that is in fact open.
If you need even more.
If you need something else to do or go or listen to tonight, you could certainly do that. We'll plug that as we go today.
But yes, the Auburn football transfer portal. Is it open still? It's still going on?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think in fact.
Only for Auburn though, right?
Right, yeah.
Sure.
It's been open for a week. It opened a week ago. Think about that for a moment. Think about all the news, all the updates that you have seen about the transfer portal. All of that officially has gone down in the last week. Yes, there were a lot of those that were, I intend to enter my name in the transfer portal halfway through December, but yeah, the portal opened a week ago, which means it still has a whole another week to go.
You can think of that as it only has a week to go, or oh my gosh, it still has another week to go. And again, a reminder, when the portal closes on the 16th, that is not your final team. There can be no more subtractions, but there can still be some more additions for the kids that are finding their next home following that date. But you have to enter your name into the transfer portal by the 16th.
And there's still news circulating around Auburn football as Alex Golish and his staff try to rebuild the roster for 2026. Christian, I'll leave it to you, my friend. Would you like to start with the good or the bad for Auburn football?
We'll start with the good news that we heard today.
Okay.
Because I think that means more for Auburn than the negatives.
Okay. Auburn does have some good news in the transfer portal. They do. Offensive linemen are starting to sign with Auburn, which is nice. Spectre, if you're out there, happy Friday. Offensive line is starting to take shape slowly, but Surely.
And that's following the quotes from Alex Golish last night on Tiger Talk, saying that getting offensive linemen in the transfer portal are like a bare-knuckle fight right now. It's every man for himself. There are absolutely no rules in the cage. You do whatever you need to, and that's the battle that Auburn is going with, because every team needs offensive linemen, and every team now understands the risk of, okay, we can't see what we have through the spring and then realize, okay, we still need another right guard, or we still need another left tackle, or we still need a big-time center. Let's go have some talks. You can't do that anymore. There is no spring portal. Everything that you need, you basically have to get at right around this time, if not very, very soon. And that's the spot that Auburn finds themselves in, as is every other team in college football, trying to land the guys up front.
Yeah, Auburn's brought several guys in for visits at all different positions, corners and more receivers. Auburn also has a quarterback on campus today. Keep that in mind. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But the guys that have signed with Auburn in the last 24 hours since the last time we spoke to you on the airwaves, the Tigers pick up another receiver.
A big one.
A big receiver, and possibly wide receiver one in the upcoming college football season. Keyshawn Singleton, USF's number one receiver last year, Byron Brown's favorite target through the air, has committed and signed with Auburn. Keyshawn Singleton is a special talent. He's a guy who helped that offense become one of the best in the nation, helped Byron Brown be one of the best passers in the nation, and he will now be joining his partner in crime when they step foot on the Plains. Both of them committed and signed to play for Auburn next year.
And I believe the only one that we haven't seen signed is the offensive lineman, Joseph Simmons, today. Unless that is...
No, he signed.
He did sign.
Yes,
okay.
He did.
So now
yes.
It is confirmed that every single Auburn Tiger that has transferred and is now on the Plains has not only committed, but signed. And for those that think that's the same thing, it could not be more different. It's very much similar to the high school process, because you've already seen others commit to another school in their transfer portal and then go and sign somewhere else. So the ability to get ink to paper is really, really important. The other one that we just hit on, Joseph Simmons, the 6'5", 322-pound offensive tackle, only allowed 14 pressures last season for Alonzo Barnett and James Madison.
Yeah, 6'5", 322, man. That's some serious body right there for Joseph Simmons. An honorable mention for all Sun Belt last year, a guy that redshirted in 22, only played two games in 23, and then had 13 games played in 2024. So somebody who played every single game last year and started every single game last year for James Madison. Remember, that's a college football playoff team.
Yeah, that is a team that made the playoff.
So you can take that for what it is. But Tyler Hudanik, Coach Hoodie, as they call him, which I think is hilarious, he picks up another commit in the transfer portal this time. Again, the 6'5", 322-pound left tackle in Joseph Simmons. So a tackle signed today, a receiver signed today, to go along with all the other bells and whistles and toys that Auburn has brought in so far.
And we'll get to a little bit more news on the Auburn transfers out here in just a little bit. But, Jacob, I'm going to give you one guest from the conversation we're having. Who do we have on the phone lines here with us right
Happy
now?
Happy Friday, Spectre. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I figured you were listening and would call in at some point today. Are you doing all right?
Yeah. But listen, before we get to what we got or what we want to get, did y'all watch the game last night? I'm sure you did.
Oh, yeah. We started today's show talking about it.
All right. Now, listen here. Now, you saw two teams with two excellent offensive lines. Mm-hmm.
And an Ole Miss offensive line that I think was better than a lot of people gave him credit for.
Absolutely. Miami's offensive line, I tell you what, if we could get an offensive line like that, we'd be champions forever. But listen, I saw last night, you know, you had an offensive line if I remember right, it was like a screen pass to the back, and all of a sudden the entire offensive line was running to the left and made a huge fence for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, he took off.
Yeah, and that's so much harder than it looks. Not that I've ever played offensive line. I'm nowhere near like that. But that's so difficult to do, to have everybody playing on a string and being able to be in good enough shape at that size to get out in front of the speedy back, and it obviously worked.
You talk about pulling guards and things like that. You saw an entire offensive line pulling.
Yep.
And it was absolutely wonderful to see.
That or halfback draws that went from 4 yards to 14 just because the offensive line continued to push the pile and win it.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, tell me what we got.
Today, Auburn football has picked up 2 signees in the transfer portal. You picked up Keyshawn Singleton, the star wide receiver. He was the go-to target for Byron Brown last year at South Florida. Excited to see him. And then Joseph Simmons, the offensive tackle from James Madison. He started every game for them, including the college football playoff game. 6'5", 322 pounds, is stepping on to Auburn's campus and signed today.
And is the tackle that only allowed 14 pressures all season long.
All right, just to be sure now, we got signatures, not just commits.
Correct, yes, sir. A big difference between the two, but now every single Auburn Tiger that has committed through the transfer portal has put pen to paper.
All right, good to hear, good to hear. All right, gentlemen, I'm excited. Keep talking to me, okay?
Love it. Thanks, Spector. We appreciate you. We'll keep talking if you keep the dial tuned in right where it's at here on 106.7. Spector, appreciate the call, my friend. 334-321-1390 is the number to get through to us if you'd like to call in about anything on your mind on this free-for-all Friday. Again, 334-321-1390. That text box open as well, 334-784-1067.
And just a single note for those that are doing what they want, that's Auburn's third Keyshawn in the transfer portal. Everyone is spelled differently.
Oh, man. That's not including the basketball Keyshawns, right?
That isn't. No, that's what I'm saying. Between those two and now Keyshawn Singleton.
Okay.
But all three are spelled differently.
That's awesome. All right. Well, that's fantastic. You got to love that. Here's what's great about Keyshawn Singleton. Okay, Keyshawn Singleton is one of the biggest targets in the transfer portal for anybody because of the stats that he had, the production that he had, the just the ability to get open, make plays,
Singleton.
And be, yes, yeah, and just be that kind of a guy. 50 catches a year ago, nearly 900 yards, and 8 touchdowns on the season. Averaged, and you could take this for what it is in terms of receptions. I don't look at this as much as I do for a running back, but averaged 17 yards a grab. That's you're averaging almost 2 first downs, almost 20 yards every time you touch the football. I mean, really big stuff there. Looking at some of the big performances that he had from this past season. Reached triple digits twice, both of them late in the season. Had 122 yards against UTSA, 125 yards against Rice, was in the 90s several times as well against UAB and against Boise State in the opener, 88 yards against Memphis. So, I mean, this guy gets grabs, man. He gets grabs. 50, what's the math on that, Christian? 50 receptions in, is that 13 games? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. They only played in 12. Well, plus the...
They played the
bowl game.
I guess it doesn't show.
I guess it doesn't show that on there. Oh, did he not play in the bowl game?
I don't believe he did.
Ah, he probably didn't play in the bowl game. That's why. 50 four, divided by 12.
4 grabs a game.
I mean, 4 grabs a game at... You know, what's that average per game?
It's almost 75, 73 yards a game.
That's nasty.
He wasn't their go-to overall deep threat, but had the deep threat speed, and you saw that against Florida. He broke off a big-time run. 2 grabs, had 75 yards, but did have that 66-yard touchdown. And so to get somebody out there that's 6'3", but can run the way that he does, but can also go up and be physical, it's a really good receiver. Goes in as a 3-star transfer prospect, but I think that right there is the perfect explanation of why you don't necessarily pay attention to stars rather than the stats, because there's a lot of things that lie. Numbers are not one of them. Let's get back to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. We got John here in Auburn. Happy Friday, John. How are you?
Happy Friday, y'all. So y'all are in the media. I am not, so I'm going to put y'all on the spot. I want an explanation, if you can, about media narratives in the NFL this weekend, because there's a game that's caught my eye here. So I'll be quick. There's a game this weekend in the NFL where you have one team, the home team, that is career a .500 playoff team in franchise history. The road team hasn't won a road playoff game in 31 years, and the home team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, are on an 8-game win streak. What do y'all think about that one? Am I putting too much faith in my Jaguars? But I feel like this should be a game that they win, even though it's against Josh Allen and the almighty Bills.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. I think that's one of the better playoff games this weekend of the six that are going to be taking place. Bills, Jags, Sunday afternoon, the 12 o'clock game. Buffalo on the road in Jacksonville, favored by 1.5. And look, I think Jacksonville's been one of the best teams all year. Trevor Lawrence has 4,000 yards this season. Like, I don't think many people know that about him. And the idea that I think Jacksonville, and I'm not trying to be a hater on your team. I just think it's a fact with the narrative you're talking about. Nobody respects Jacksonville. Nobody wants to talk about them. They are not a sexy team to be good. Nobody in the big-time media, John, you know this being a fan of them, nobody talks about them or wants them to be good. They want the Chiefs to be good. They want the Bills to be good. They want the big names, big brands, big markets to be good. And Jacksonville, of all places, is just not that team, unfortunately.
But, John, to give a little bit of hope, in college football, they don't want Indiana to be good either. And look where they're at right now.
They do not. No, that's a team. I thought it was interesting. I'll be real quick so y'all are up on a break. That was a team I was really interested. They traded away Bigsby preseason and kind of gave him to Philly for not much. Team's been better. Team's been better this year. And Liam Cohen already top five in Jaguars history and wins in his rookie season. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. Got great NFL games coming up this weekend. Two tomorrow, three on Sunday, one on Monday. So very excited for that.
I will also say I don't know exactly what week it is, John. If you're still listening, text into the text box what week it was that Cohen gave that speech, whether that was the Monday practice after or whatever it was in the film room, but basically sat everybody down and said, we have not been good enough, but more importantly, I have not been good enough. I have not put you in positions to win. And you started hearing position players stand up and say, I need to start doing this too. Going back and looking at film, I need to do this. And he said, yeah, no doubt. That being said, it is my job to put you in the right spots to win, and that's what we're going to do. Shoot, it might have been before the win streak.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Well, I bet it was in that stretch of Rams-Seahawks where they lost back-to-back games and the Rams beat them 35-7. I bet that's where it was.
I mean, that needs to be my alarm in the morning.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, they lost 3 out of 4. Texans, Raiders, Rams, and Seahawks. The only team they beat was the Raiders by 1. I guarantee it was around then because they turned around, beat the Chiefs, Niners, Texans, who they lost to, lost to the Bengals, but that didn't matter, and then beat the Panthers in the finale. So, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Apologies. I had that totally backwards. I was looking back to front. Apologies. Yeah, they started 1-1, 3-game win streak, then they lost that 3 out of 4, had that speech, then went on a tear, and they haven't lost since. I knew that didn't sound right. They haven't lost since. What is that? 3, 6, 8 games in a row.
Says
it was right around that point.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it goes to show you that, I mean, accountability, personal accountability, and then you see others stand up personally as well, and how you can still have accountability be a movement in a locker room and it end up going in the right direction, even when things might not look that way. Because at that point in the season, who the hell would have thought that Jacksonville's much less in the playoffs, much less sitting at 13-4 and hosting Josh Allen and the Bills?
College football can take some notes from that, let me tell you what. Speaking of those games in the NFL playoffs, we've got a loaded schedule here on ESPN 106.7. I want to tell you about that when we come back. Wrap up hour number one, a phenomenal conversation coming up to start hour number two about how NIL is simply just broken.
I've been waiting for it for 3 days.
We'll talk about that. Wrap up hour number one and get into that in hour number two coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we get into hour number two, where we will talk about some pretty wild NIL numbers that Christian was able to find, just comparing what the college athlete makes nowadays with what professional athletes make nowadays. So we'll have that coming up in hour number two. That'll be a fun free-for-all Friday segment. Then get into
that, and then comparing the individual to a university.
Yeah.
And what the university gives per win and per player, and what that looks like if you take the U.S. median salary into those numbers.
Yeah, we may hurt some feelings today. And then we'll talk about Auburn basketball, SEC basketball, and more coming up at 3:30 as the Tigers host Arkansas coming up tomorrow afternoon. But we mentioned it's a busy weekend of sports around the nation. And ESPN 106.7 and our family of radio stations here at the Auburn Network, man, this is the place to be for the next several days. So just make sure you've got the radio on. If you're driving around, you've got our stations programmed in the car. And then, of course, you all, I don't have to tell you this because you already have it downloaded on your phone. But in case for whatever reason it accidentally got deleted, that's okay. You just need to re-download it, because I know you had it before. The Radio Alabama app. Okay? That's the best thing you can. It'll be your best app, your most used app, right? You're going to get your screen reports at the end of the week, and it's going to say 18 hours spent on the Radio Alabama app. That's what we want, okay? Download that, because it's the best way for you to access everything we do across our six radio stations that we have here in the Auburn-Opelika area. Starting tonight, here on ESPN 106.7, we have the college football playoff semifinal between Oregon and Indiana. Coming up tomorrow, both of those NFL playoff games we talked about, you can catch them right here on 106.7. LA, boom. The Rams and the Panthers starting at 3, and then my Packers, baby. My Packers take on the Chicago Bears. They're going to beat the Bears tomorrow. The Bears, they suck. They don't know what they're doing. They ain't been here. They don't even remember what the playoffs smell like. They're not ready for Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. That's tomorrow night here on 106.7. Then on Sunday, little Auburn women's basketball, Florida and Auburn at 1:45. And then Monday night, the other NFL game between the Texans and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when the national championship game rolls around, we'll have that for you in college football right here on ESPN 106.7.
Boom. And news on the way out. We won't have the time to talk about this sport today, but I just saw that Auburn baseball checked in at number 10 in the preseason rankings.
God, we're ready for baseball season. We are so ready for that. We do need to mention one player going out of the transfer portal for Auburn. We'll talk about him and NIL being broken. That's the only word we can come up with. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7. Or for those of you tuned in at ESPNAU.com or that Radio Alabama app, however you're listening, we appreciate you on this Friday afternoon. If you missed any of hour number one, it was a good one. It was a banger, man. We rolled through the first 60 minutes, and I have a feeling that the second 60 minutes will be much of the same. We talked about the college football playoff game from last night as Miami takes down Ole Miss. They move on to the national championship game. They flew home last night, and they won't leave again. They will host the national championship game in their own stadium. They should make them go to the visitor locker room just to balance it a little bit. You can't let Miami use their home locker room. I wouldn't. I think that's fair.
How wild is it, too, that even the two winning teams, I mean, they don't have to travel too far if they choose to stay in Atlanta, just drive straight down.
Well, the problem is you got 10 days from today for the national championship game. So that's my opinion. I think they should make Miami use the visitor locker room.
Or make them at least have to go somewhere else to practice or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they're going to be able to use their own home facility and everything.
Dude, that is a big – think about the advantage you have just from sleep.
Yeah.
The Miami players will sleep in their own beds the night before. Indiana's got to sleep in some crappy hotel that they buy.
Or Oregon.
Or Oregon, yeah. Sorry. So we talked about that in hour number one. We talked about last night's game, talked about tonight's game, which, you know, I may have just slipped up and given my pick for tonight's game. But we also talked about Auburn football in the transfer portal with a couple of new additions, a nice receiver, a starting offensive lineman. Did not mention, though, the Eric Singleton news, which we'll get to in just a moment before we dive into some NIL things. But all of that was in hour number one again. So if you missed it, check it out on our podcast. It's just the show that we take the audio from and post it for you every single day at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, we're having a couple really fun conversations, ones that we've held on to for a couple of days because we needed to bookmark it because we had other news that we needed to fill. But we thought that Free For All Friday was the perfect opportunity to be able to talk a little bit about these conversations. And it's just how broken the NIL era is when it comes to the overall dollar sign. And then when you compare that to professional athletes and what some of they are making, we also dove into the numbers and are talking about how much colleges are willing to pay per win in 2026, what that could look like with the rosters, what that could look like with total revenue. We spent a decent amount of time diving into some of these numbers, and my phone calculator was mad at me for the amount of simple math that I had to do in understanding some of these numbers. But
that's okay.
Taking what certain teams with their total revenue from athletics and comparing that to the U.S. median salary and doing some comparisons and some fractional math to determine what it would look like.
I hate fractions,
it's
man.
So bad. My calculator was not upset. It understood why I did it for that. But what that would look like per the U.S. median salary, right? For example, again, we'll get to this, but hearing all about, it's like LeBron spends over $1 million on his body every year to make sure that he's ready for the next season. And that sounds like $1 million, or it sounds like a lot of money, and it obviously is, but for him, that's not as much. You compare that to what normal people make, and it's like 20,000, like some stupid
talk
number.
Talk about ROI. I mean,
right, exactly. Yeah. And so we'll dive into all of those conversations. It might make us angry, might make you angry, and honestly, we kind of hope that it does, just to show you a little bit of how broken everything is. And then in the last 30 minutes, we'll talk Auburn basketball as they host Arkansas tomorrow inside Neville Arena. We'll also talk about other SEC teams, other college basketball games going on, some updated standings in the SEC. I saw that Missouri posted a graphic that they're the first, they're 2-0 for the first time in SEC play ever in college basketball.
Wow. You're talking
I think in the SEC. So I guess
13, 14 years.
Yeah. It's the first time they started 2-0.
And they did it with a win inside Rupp Arena for the first time ever. That's pretty crazy.
What a debacle that game, those last 5 minutes were. But we'll talk all about those games and fantastic games coming up here this weekend. As Jacob has mentioned it, this is a fantastic week and weekend for sports. If you have 3 TVs, 4 TVs, just bring your TV to your buddy's house, plug it in, set it on the floor, do what you need to do to watch and listen to all of these games. It should be a whole lot of fun. All of that is coming up here in hour number two.
Yep, phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. 334-321-1390. The fastest way to get in right now, especially with the conversations we are having, is the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And I do want to address this before we move on, because it is the Auburn-related news in the transfer portal in terms of a departure. We talked about Keyshawn Singleton, the wide receiver from USF, who has signed with Auburn, a nearly 900-yard receiver from a year ago from South Florida, one of Byron Brown's favorite receivers. He is now on the Plains, and also an offensive lineman from James Madison, who started every game, including the college football playoff game. So we talked about those two guys in the first hour. But this situation is one that most Auburn fans felt was over. They felt it was done. And
but
for
relieved.
A while, it was. Because the thought was that Eric Singleton was going to the NFL draft. He had declared for the NFL draft. But today, he has withdrawn his name from the NFL draft, or has decided not to pursue that direction. And not only did he do that, he entered his name in the transfer portal, which kind of hurts. He's now the 34th Auburn player to enter the portal since it opened, and the 6th wide receiver for Auburn to enter the portal.
This one came as a little bit of a surprise, but nothing against Eric or what he brought to Auburn, because, again, we apologize for underutilizing him because of the talent that he has. But I guess even with him withdrawing his name, it doesn't hurt as much, because I felt as if I already said goodbye from that standpoint. And so, if anything, Auburn felt as if it was going to have to replace him regardless. And so it wasn't the fact of, this wasn't a Todd Pettiford situation of, I'm going to declare my name in the draft, or I'm going to return to Auburn, and then all of a sudden enter the transfer portal. It was, okay, I'm going to enter the portal, or I'm going to enter my name into the NFL draft. Okay, awesome. We wish you the best. Thank you so much. Good luck on your path. There wasn't really, and looking at the transfer portal, obviously Auburn would have welcomed him back, but the wide receiver room is now one of the more popular spots.
Yeah.
In the Auburn roster now, despite losing a lot of the offensive weapons out wide. And so I guess it doesn't hurt as much until you see where he goes and you know he has a fantastic year somewhere. As of right now, Florida is that early favorite. And you want to talk about the ability to use a slot receiver, Florida would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Good thing is Auburn doesn't play Florida next year, right?
Nope. In Jordan Hare either.
No. I would hate to see a number one in a different color shade of blue and orange go running down the sidelines with the football in his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where it hurts the most, is the idea that we knew he wasn't coming back to Auburn. We just didn't know he was going somewhere else. And it doesn't mean he's going to the SEC. Again, Florida seems to be the favorite, but that I don't know how much stock you want to put in that nowadays.
Sure.
So
it's very similar to the, again, I guess like the Cam Coleman situation of, if you want to go to like Texas Tech or Ohio State. Just go to where we have to cheer you on from a distance.
Yeah, just go out of the conference. That's all we ask.
You don't have to watch you break our hearts.
Yeah, it'll happen. So that is the Auburn-related news and the transfer portal. I'm going to talk to you on the air scheduling purposes here. I want to talk about the situation in Seattle very quickly, just to give an update on that. Take an early break. Give us a big segment to talk about what you want to, your big stats and everything. Give you plenty of time to dive into the information you pulled, because it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that might dive into a little bit at 3:30, but yeah, we're good.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I think that'll be okay. Very quickly, the Damond Williams situation in Seattle between Washington, LSU, the NCAA, and the U.S. government.
That's right, because this all happens.
This happened last night.
Last night.
After we were off
That's
the air.
Funny, because we had a big conversation. For some reason, I was thinking that this had been closed on air. It has not been.
No, I don't think so. Damond Williams is going back to Washington. After all that, Damond Williams has decided to return to Washington. How about that?
Just better interests. Coach, what do you mean?
I didn't really want to leave. What are you talking about? I'm just kidding. That was a good joke. Happy January Fools. Right? Gotcha, coach. Coach, I didn't want to leave.
Coach, I wanted to be a Husky. I wanted to be a dog. The fact
my
that
heart
you thought,
is in Seattle, baby.
The fact that you even thought elsewhere.
I just love the rain that Seattle brings.
Coach, that was more of a test on you to see what you were going to do. And to be completely honest,
you failed.
You failed because you then started looking at quarterbacks.
You were going to sue me. The university was going to sue me, Coach. You were going to let that happen to me?
After all I've done for you?
What a dumb situation this ended up being. Here's what happened.
Coach,
okay?
I know my agent left, or my, my agent left me, but like, yeah. I didn't mean it.
Coach, Mr. Coach, my
Mr.
agent,
coach, sir.
My coach left, or my agent left me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean it. What a wild and dumb situation this was. Damon Williams signs a contract to return to Washington, gets a higher offer from maybe LSU. It was LSU. And then said, I'm going to go.
From another team from Rattan Bouge.
Yeah. From Kane Liffin.
From where?
From Kane Liffin. from Deuce Kiffin, actually, gave him the offer. Said, I'm going to go to Baton Rouge and make more money. So that contract I signed, you just rip that up. That's fine. Washington said, hell no, and got legal people involved, got the Big Ten commissioner involved.
Yeah, the Big Ten said, hold up.
And then
wait a minute.
Damon Williams and his agency split. Damon Williams retained his lawyer. And all of a sudden, Damon Williams is now returning to Washington. I don't know how that happens. I don't know why Washington doesn't just say, kick rocks.
If you're Jed Fish,
bench him.
How petty would it be? Cool. You are going to, you're coming back here to play for Washington. However, we get to agree to a new deal. And you're going to ride the bench because of it.
I would. I absolutely would. I would
and
make
sit
sure.
Sit there and say, apologies, brother. This isn't even a statement for you. This is a statement for college football.
God, it'd be awesome.
It won't happen, but.
No, ain't no way. Ain't no way. But.
Because, again, a further conversation is what teams are willing to pay for a win.
Yeah.
And that's the exact story right there.
Yep. We'll talk about that when we come back. Hour number two is underway. Stick around. We got a great conversation. Numbers galore on the NIL when we come back.
Maybe. It's been 3 days, so we might talk about it.
We're talking about it.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. He's Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us and took a little bit of an early break, kind of a normal break, but for us, it's an early break because we got out before 20.
We're back before 20. That's impressive.
We are. That is rather, that's what normal everything looks like.
Not on this show.
No, not at all. And not today. Not today at all. Again, we've teased it for long enough. We're going to dive into it. And again, a really fun conversation if you're just now joining us. We're diving into some of the numbers on just how broken NIL era, or how broken the NIL era is with the amount of dollar signs that get thrown around. And this is something that was brought to at least my desire to dive into this from the Damon Williams situation of how college football quarterbacks now are slated to make upwards of $6 million for one season in college football. That is $400,000 per regular season game. Think about that.
That's so dumb.
That is $100,000 a quarter. Ouch.
For 15 minutes of game time that they don't even actually play the whole thing.
Yeah.
Ouch.
To where you could go three and out, and the other team could have two drives, and next thing you know, you're in the second quarter. Sweet. There's $100,000. We'll dive into some of those numbers here in just a little bit on the university perspective as well. But with that number of $6 million, I was very curious on, okay, let's take a look at the professional sports world and see the number of athletes that will not see that number of $6 million, or most of these are even $5 million, for their respective season. Do you have a sport that you would like to start in, whether that's Major League, Major League Baseball, the National Football League, or the Never Broke Again Association?
Or the National Blowout Association. Yeah. I say we start NFL just because that's the sport comparison, at least right now, for football that you're talking about, football to the NFL. Get a good idea there, then compare it to some of the big-name athletes in the other sports.
I like it, yeah. NFL does have a little bit of an asterisk because rookie contracts play a little bit of a factor in this, but as do like the signing bonuses. But still, it's the fact that these professional athletes are going to play 17 regular season games and then playoff games and still might not make enough as a college football quarterback that wins eight games possibly would. I made a giant list, and this just goes down. And this was me being very picky, but I went through every single one. Michael Carter will make $5 million. Tyler Allgeier for the Falcons will only make one. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, rookie deals, but still not $5 million. Zay Flowers, Dalton Kincaid, Rico Dowdle, Rome Odunze, Chase Brown, Shedeur Sanders, and Dylan Gabriel, both of their signing bonuses and their contracts combined and almost doubled. George Pickens, Javonte Williams, R.J. Harvey, J.K. Dobbins combined. Bo Nix, Brian Branch, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Nick Chubb, Tyler Warren.
Bo Nix.
Yes.
The starting quarterback for the number one seed in the AFC. The number one team in the league.
Yeah.
The betting favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Jahmyr Gibbs. Arguably the best player in the NFL. That's a big argument, but up there in the conversation.
Has an argument, sure.
Nick Chubb, Tyler Warren, Parker Washington, Brenton Strange, Travis Etienne, Kareem Hunt, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey, Keenan Allen, Omarion Hampton, Jordan Mason, Travion Henderson, Cooper DeJean, Mac Jones, Juwan Jennings, Kenneth Walker, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I didn't even name all of the names that were on this list, nor did I name every big-name player that is making less than a college football quarterback will this season playing in the Professional Football League, the NFL.
Where those guys are professionals. They are the best in the world. They're
and
the
again,
best players in the world.
These are names that you are winning and or losing your fantasy teams with every year. These are not just rookies that, I remember those names from college, but they haven't really done anything yet.
That may or may not pan out.
These are bona fide superstars in the NFL that, whether on rookie deals or not, will not be making, at least salary-wise, what a one-year rental could possibly be in the NFL.
And then,
yeah, shall we continue?
Oh, yes.
Let's go to the MLB, because this one is a little bit different, because most superstars in major leagues, especially now with the MLB contracts. So I tried to find the names that, not excluding you, but I know you're growing into the baseball world of things, but names that even if you don't watch baseball, you know the name of. Ozzie Albies, the Braves second baseman, is only making $5 million. Emmanuel Clase is making $4 million, plus whatever he makes in betting, but one of the best closers in the game. Bruzdar Gratterall, it's a name that you don't really know, but when I tell you he's the Dodgers closer that throws like the 104-mile-an-hour sinker that is just absolutely unhittable, yeah, that's him. He's making $2 million. Freddy Peralta is making $3 million. I would not complain if he makes more in pitches in Truist Park next year, but that's where he is as of right now. Clark Schmidt, one of the starting pitchers for the Yankees, is not making that. Shane McClanahan, who was in the MVP running and the Cy Young running a couple of years ago for the Rays, the lefty. Colt Keith, Cole Reagans, Kirby Yates, Chris Martin. Again, these are names that you know in Major League Baseball that play 162 games. Not 12, not 17. In the regular season, you play 162 baseball games.
In a six-month span from April to October if you make it all the way through.
And they are not making what a one-year rental in college football is making.
The comparison and the example here being Brendan Sorsby for Texas Tech, the Cincinnati quarterback transfer, whose NIL, what's the term they're using? It's not his evaluation. It's his NIL. what is it called? His basically everything combined. It's his NIL payment. Do you know what I'm talking about? I've seen it 1,000 times. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. It's his NIL
deal. It's not valuation?
No. No, it's, well, maybe it is. Maybe it's valuation.
That's what I'm seeing these.
Yeah,
from,
maybe so.
Rather than evaluations, it's just the overall valuation.
Yeah, I guess so. Because it, and here's the thing. Texas Tech is not sitting down with Brendan Sorsby, stroking a $5 million check and handing it to him, and he takes it to his local bank and cashes it, okay? But that's what he's going or expected to make with everything. At the end of the day, he's expected to make $5 million. Dollars for 1 year.
And reports were that Kane Liffen and Ratan Bouge was planning on paying Damon Williams $6 million to leave Seattle and go play for...
Which is so stupid. Brendan Sorsby was the best quarterback in the portal. There's no doubt about it. I loved watching that kid at Cincinnati. A guy who started at Indiana.
Yeah.
But... he's not worth $5 million. Not for a year. Not for a guy that could snap his ankle in spring ball.
For 12 regular season games.
And then Damon Williams getting $6 million is just wild to me, too.
Looking at the NBA, continuing this conversation, guys that are not making more than the up names of college football quarterbacks for one-year rentals. Dyson Daniels, the everything superstar, now even more so, because rest in peace Trae Young's career in Atlanta. Jalen Tyson.
Do you like him in Washington? That's where he wanted to go.
The team is so young. The team's a great rebounding and defensive team. They just can't score.
Yeah.
So getting a Trae Young type of guy that can run the floor, can run the paint, it's incredible. Jalen Tyson for Cleveland. Peyton Watson, Christian Braun, Jalen Duren.
Yeah, that's wild.
Alfred Sengun. Jaime Jaquez, Khalil Ware, Miles McBride, Russell Westbrook. Again, these are the big-name dudes.
Russell Westbrook's a Hall of Famer.
In the NBA that are making less than what a college football quarterback will make in 12 games.
But we don't have a problem. We don't have an issue. What's the word I want to use? I don't even know.
It's an epidemic.
Nice. I think that's a good way to describe it. We can't use pandemic anymore.
No.
That kind of has some bad.
No, it's an epidemic. And now
epidemic is good, though.
It's so widespread that you can't control it, but it's expected with everything.
Yeah.
Tip culture, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get me started
on that. That's modern world NIL.
Yeah.
You tipping $2 for your coffee. That's just, you're paying NIL money.
The coffee you sat in your car and they gave to you and didn't take but two steps for. Yeah. We're not getting into that today. You got more, though, coming up.
We do, yes. We're talking about how much college coaches and how much college teams are willing to pay per win in 2026. You will not believe the numbers as we continue on here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. I'm Christian Griffin. He is Jacob Goins. And my goodness, we had a really fun conversation. The text box lighting up in there as well. Apologies for saying epidemic. No Rally House gift cards today. But credit to you. That was pretty funny. But we just finished up a conversation talking about what professional sports what?
Oh, I have somebody has chimed in on this conversation.
We're talking about how there are plenty of professional athletes that are not making as much as the modern day 1 year rental in college football. And we're about to dive into even more of the numbers. If those numbers didn't connect with you and hit you in the heart, wait till we talk about this conversation about how much college coaches and how much college teams and universities are willing to pay per win in 2026 and what that would look like if that was coming out of your pocket.
Somebody texted in our On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. I don't know if this it is. Oh, this got confirmed today. Interesting. I missed this. I missed that we learned how much money Stephen Pearl is making per year at Auburn in his first head coaching contract. I didn't know that this got confirmed. I knew it was a five-year deal, but the money had not been announced when they signed the contract. Base salary, $3 million a year. According to the contract, Bruce was making six when he walked out. So Stephen making about $3 million a year. Has a bunch of bonuses in there. I'm bringing this back to your conversation, I swear.
He bonuses can make, based off of, like, winning?
Yes, he can make up to an extra $1.4 million a year. He can make up to an extra $1.4 million per year from regular season win bonuses alone. Conference regular season championship, $200,000. Conference tournament championship, $50,000. Coach of the year, $50,000. National coach of the year, $100,000. Make the NCAA tournament, gets $50,000, $50,000 for the Sweet 16, $75,000 for the Elite Eight. Final Four is $100,000. Make the national title game, $250,000. If you win it, he can get $500,000. So even with that, this texter says, Stephen Pearl is making $3 million a year. It's a shame that some college football players are doubling that number.
That's, I mean, it's wild. How nice is that, though? Granted, all things considered, you're sitting there on Selection Sunday, and even if Auburn's a 9 seed, you sit there and go, all right, cool. There's
cha-ching.
Yeah, there's $50,000 right there. That's, I could think of worse ways to go about that. But now diving into the professional side of things, of how much are colleges willing to pay per win in 2026? And we'll dive into this number, take an early break, and come back and spend the last 15 minutes or so talking Auburn and Arkansas, giving our thoughts as well as our final thoughts on the college football playoff game tonight. But when you're looking at it from the $30 million roster standpoint, that was the base number that I took with all of these calculations. The perfect team goes 15-0 because you wouldn't need to go 16 because you'd get a first round bye. If you play 15 games and you go 15-0, you are paying $2 million essentially per win. $2 million per win. When you look at Ohio State last year, Ohio State was the largest team in total revenue when it came to sports. It was $251.6 million before expenses. I believe their total profit was right around $25 million. But $251.6 million is what they spent in athletics. If you take, I forgot the exact number that it was, but from 2 million or 251 million from the $30 million, if you take that same comparison to the U.S. median average, which we found out yesterday was $53,000 in 2024, $53,000 per person. If you take the same percentages, that would be you paying $437 per win, or almost $7,000, $6,500 annually for your team to win the national championship. Now, I ask the question of how many of us would pay that? And although it's probably not a great number, it's probably more than we would straight up picture for fans to pay almost $7,000 for Auburn to win a national title.
I think it depends on the team, but for Auburn in particular right now, yeah.
Yes. Again, I would. Not an insane number, but I bet it's bigger than what we could predict. However, that's for 15 wins and a national championship. Sounds a little bit better if it could be guaranteed. Mm-hmm. I pay $6,555, but I guarantee to be celebrating late January that my team just won the national championship. Imagine 10 wins. That number from 437 per win goes to $656 per win.
It's a pretty big jump.
What about 7 wins? That makes it just about $1,000 that you are paying per win.
For an average person.
For the average person that makes $53,000 a year, that you paying $1,000 is essentially that comparison to what college universities are paying these teams hoping to win 12 to 15 games and play for a national championship. If you paid that much money, if you paid $6,500 annually for your team to get 7 wins, how long would it take for you to start complaining about where your money's going?
Not long. 1 year. It'd take me 1 year.
It would take me 1 year, and it would be, oh, yep, that's not happening again.
Exactly. That's the whole point of the discussion you're having right now, is ROI.
Is the fact that the risk versus the reward of your return on investment is absolutely insane.
But for so many colleges and so many college football programs, and you can expand this conversation. This is not political by any means, so please do not take it this way. But wealthy people compared to the average American, right? Money doesn't mean as much to them when you have that much money, right? Stroking that check here and there, buying the expensive car or the expensive dinner or whatever, you don't feel it as much as the average person does, which is why you can't compare dollar amounts, and you've done such a good job here, Christian, of comparing the percentages, right? And so there are college football programs.
Just from the Auburn perspective, if you would like to look at that, over the last 3 years, you would average about $1,400 per win.
$1,400. The average Auburn fan out there would have averaged paying out of your bank account.
Yeah, over the last 3 years.
$1,400 for the wins you've had in the last 3 years.
When in comparison to what, yeah, universities are spending for their college football teams.
That would make me do things I can't say on the radio.
You know, like, what I would do to get $1,500 back or $1,400 back? My goodness.
Anything. Yeah. I mean, you would pay that much money to suck really bad. To have losing seasons.
And again, obviously that number was not a factor 3 years ago, but just from the
right
time period of what that would have looked like.
But that's what I'm saying, is that's the issue that you're bringing up here before we get to break, is there are a lot of college football programs that can invest, save up, and invest, right? When you buy a new car, what do? You say, when you go on that trip, what do? Most people have to save up, and you save up, and you invest, and you go all in. We see professional sports teams do that. That's how the good old days used to work, right? That's why the St. Louis Cardinals would come around every 5 or 6 years, because they would save up, they'd get a roster, and they'd make a run. That's why you saw the Cleveland Cavaliers do it. You saw the Golden State Warriors do it. You saw teams save their money, build it from the ground up, and then hope to have success.
Hope
to have success. That's the line in college athletics that's so screwed up right now, because there are so many colleges and programs and things that are either trying to save up or have decided to heck with that, we're not doing that, compared to the 10 maybe programs that say, we don't care how much it costs.
Yeah, we're going to pay it every year.
We'll pay it every year until it works, a.k.a. the Dodgers, Yankees, those types of teams that just simply don't care. And that's the disparity right now in college athletics with the NIL.
Yeah, and the fact that if there are only 10 teams, or say there's 15 with that one team that does it every third year or fourth year, you're throwing out all of these numbers and not saying words or not saying things that people don't already know, but every team is doing that hoping for a national championship. Only one team's going to be happy at the end of the year.
Yeah. Because if you're spending that much money, nothing is good enough.
No, you demand it every single year.
Yeah.
And that's why the Dodgers, your example of the Dodgers not winning the World Series every year, is comical to the rest of Major League Baseball and the rest of the world, because of how much they spend and what their expectation is every year.
Compared to a team that, yeah, let's say they saved up for 3, 4, 5 years. Again, the professional comparison is so fascinating to me.
Look at the Orioles. They didn't perform well last year, but early in the year they had World Series expectations because they had gone and they had sucked, but they put enough effort into their farm system to go get enough left-handed bats. They even pushed the left field wall 15 feet further back because they realized, we have a lot of left-handed hitters. Let's make it harder for right-handed hitters to hit home runs.
Yeah.
They did all of that in hopes to, okay, we see the future. We see 5, 10 years from now, this ROI being what is needed.
And fell flat on their face. That's what makes it hurt so bad. That's what makes it hurt.
Now imagine doing that as a college football program for one freaking year.
For 1 year.
Where you can't have the 5 to 10 year long-term vision of, all right, we've locked this guy down for 10 years. It might not have worked out this year. Auburn and Deuce Knight is the perfect example. If Deuce does go to Ole Miss, Auburn paid, I don't know the exact number, more than $1 million for Deuce Knight to practice Monday through Thursday
and
to stand on the sideline to wear number 9.
Yeah.
And the ROI being zero.
You're just shooting from the hip, man. That's all. I mean, that's all these teams are doing. That you there is no long-term planning for college athletics other than securing big-time donors who have nothing better to do than donate their, you know, future kin's fortune to football. Which I'm not here to judge or whatever.
But you're hearing more and more about him saying no. You're hearing more and more of these people, not just from the Auburn standpoint, but in college sports. Charles Barkley was one of the spokers, and yes, yeah. he has the Auburn ties, but saying, I'm not giving anymore because the ROI is just not there and kids just screw you over. Who was it? I don't know if they publicly released the name, but I believe it was Dante Moore that got the big donation from UCLA and after 1 year went to Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
The big donor, I think it was an NFL quarterback. I don't think his name was released, but it was like,
it was a it was Troy Aikman.
Was it Troy Aikman?
I think it was Troy Aikman
with Dante Moore, right?
I think he said, yeah, he didn't specify who the player was, but
that's what
I think
it was. But then he said after a year he just left and jumped to a rival school. Yeah,
and never got a thank you note or anything. Yeah, never got anything like that. Yeah, so he said to heck with that. Yeah,
but the problem is there are those 10 schools that'll do it every single year in hopes that it works. Every fourth year.
Yeah, yeah, there's no doubt. The disparity is crazy. So great research there, Christian. Great numbers, great stuff on why NIL is so broken. Good thing is the NCAA will fix it. We'll rely on them, and everything will be fine by this time next year. But
what will fix it is in 5 years from now when the SEC and the Big Ten say, Tyreek Hill, deuces.
5 years, that's generous. Yeah. I said 5 years 3 years ago.
Honestly,
we're getting closer to it every day.
While, and I know we need to get to break because we're going to talk Auburn, Arkansas, but was it you that we were talking about this off air that we were reading stuff that said that the NCAA realizes that it's almost too far to go back, and so they're scared about like lawsuits and everything, so they have to just sit there and wait until there's a break off for there to be any sort of structure again?
Pretty much, yeah. The NCAA, no, dude, they know. They know they're screwed. They know that they have no backbone. They know they have no voice. They have no power, right? And they simply don't care. So now what they have to do is sit around, wait for the conferences to tell them they're done. They're just waiting for the breakup. They're just reaping the benefits, I guess, of a bad, toxic relationship that's clearly one-sided, and they're waiting for the other one to break up with them.
But you're still getting monthly payments.
Yeah, so. And then they'll go and just snatch up whatever loose pieces there are, also known as the G5 and anybody else that's not involved. Simple enough. So, great stuff there. Really appreciate you doing all that research and just shows how broken everything is. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back, have a quick segment on Auburn basketball. Tigers hosting the Hogs tomorrow inside of Neville Arena. We'll wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you being with us. Got a couple of minutes before we wrap up. The drive will be taken over for a couple of hours, and then they will hand it off to the national ESPN broadcast where the college football playoff semifinal game will be here broadcasted on 106.7 between Indiana and Oregon. But we are talking basketball for the next 5 minutes or so since Auburn and Arkansas taking place, doing battle tomorrow inside of Neville Arena. 5 o'clock tip, 4:30 broadcast time with our man Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey over on the Auburn Sports Network. You can hear that locally on Wings 94.3. And it's Auburn, and it is Arkansas. And the Tigers 0-2 in SEC play. trying to get back in the win column for the first time in conference play, and they got to do it against a top 15 Arkansas team, a team that I really, really like and have been on since mid-November, and the team I think is the one to beat in SEC play. They come to Neville Arena. This game's always crazy, but should be packed tomorrow, hopefully. John Calipari, of course, leading the Hogs, and a team that, again, I just think is extremely talented. Auburn got to figure it out, man. Can they find a way to shake off and just forget what happened to them on Tuesday night? Can they forget about it? Can they not let it bother them, not let it get to them? If they can, then they're going to be all right, and Auburn has a chance to win. I fear, though, there are some matchup issues, matchup problems for Auburn, Trayvon Brazil being one of them. Auburn's guards have to play well in this game. Can you get a Tahad Pettiford performance like you need? Can Keyshawn Hall continue to get his? Can you get anything from anybody else, whether it's KO, whether it's Sway, whether it's Murphy, whether it's Magwood, or maybe Jovic Wright, who's supposed to be back in this game with the injury scare on Tuesday, or Simon Walker? Somebody has to step up, Christian. Somebody has to. And Auburn needs somebody other than Tahad Pettiford and Keyshawn Hall to make a difference tomorrow.
And you're almost at the point right now, too, of rather than it being one person stepping up, or it being we can let this guy carry the load for 10 minutes or for the first half or whatever the case may be, rather than it being just that one person or that third scorer that you need, and I would love to just see a complete game. I would love to see it to where this team shares the basketball. This team gets 20 assists or nears doubling what you feel like they've gotten over the past couple of games. And I know you had to step out saying rather than one player stepping up or that secondary player stepping up, let it be four or five guys or even six guys come out and play really, really good, rather than I'm not going to complain if Keyshawn Hall wants to give you 30, 35 again. But man, how nice would it be to see, just looking down the box score, and you see 15, 14, 13, 9, 11, 12, 6, just through the giant stat sheet. And you know that it's possible. I don't know how overly realistic that is, but with the amount of talent that you see on the team, you know that anybody can go off on any 3 or 4 minute span. And so rather than relying on one person to give you 40 minutes or even 20 minutes, just go out there and play the way the basketball should be played. And you're going to have to against Arkansas in Neville Arena.
Normally, I am in agreement with that, and I'm in the big picture ideology of just finding a way to win in one game is not good for the season as a whole, because I want to see the team grow. I want to see other guys step up. I want to play the long game throughout a season. So I'm normally in agreement with you. I do think other people have to step up. There's no doubt about it.
But you,
tomorrow,
0-3 is not a possibility.
It's exactly right.
A possibility. If you want the season to go how you need to, it cannot be a possibility.
Correct. So I'm in a position tomorrow where I'm not going to be picky. Normally I am. I'm a pretty picky person when it comes to Auburn athletics and my teams, and I want it to, not only do I want it to happen, but I always want it to happen in a certain way, because again, I try to think big picture and I try to look long term. But yeah, man, you're staring down the barrel of 0-3 in SEC play. I don't know what the stat is. I wish we would have looked this up. If we were better radio hosts, we would have. But what the stat is for teams who start 0-3 in SEC play, what they end up doing on average, what they end up doing at the end of the regular season, what their average seed is in the SEC tournament, things like that, right? What their NCAA tournament seed. I know that varies on what the conference is, but you know what I'm getting at there. You're staring down the barrel of 0-3, man. I don't care how you do it tomorrow. I don't care if Keyshawn Hall drops 50. Find a way to win. Find a way to win. Don't hurt yourself. Don't do it to yourself. Don't beat yourself. Make them beat you. They're better than you. Straight up. Arkansas is a better basketball team than you now.
Do we have the official line yet?
I haven't seen one. It'll be this afternoon or evening when it comes out. So, all right, music's kicking us out of here, my friend. Hey, high school basketball coming up tonight. If you're looking for something to listen to, check in Tiger Country 104.5, Lee Scott and Dadeville tonight. You are on the air around 5 o'clock, right?
Yeah, right at 5 o'clock and 5:15, girls, and then the boys – scheduled to follow. Both teams 1-0 already in area play, looking to move to 2-0 with a big win here tonight.
Auburn High kicks off area play tonight. The Central Red Devils come to town. Girls start at 5:30, boys at 7, 96.3 W Lee. Download the Radio Alabama app. You can listen to everything we've got going on. Enjoy the weekend. It's one of the best sports weekends we've seen in a while. Take it in. Enjoy it. We'll talk on Monday about all of it. Indiana, Oregon, one word, go.
Indiana.
Indiana myself. We'll talk all that on Monday, 2 to 4. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.